Coming up on Bear Podcast.
Wealthy Gays.
Gay bookstore closing.
Amazon Fire TV.
And two-hour orgasms.
All these and more coming up next. Bear Podcast, 516.
You bears.
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to him, so I'm going to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white. That's
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Narn.
And I am Ray.
516. It's April 29th on a Tuesday. Yes.
April's almost over with.
It's almost done. Almost finished. And it's going to be a busy weekend for us too because I'm going to Austin.
Well, you know, they say keep Austin weird. So there you are.
Yeah. I'm probably. Yeah. It's going to be a softball weekend for me. And I'm kind of excited about it. I'll get to go accidentally into the Iron Bear again.
Oh, accidentally. Just accidentally walk in the Iron Bear.
I posted on Facebook before, about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, I accidentally walked into Iron Bear.
And you were going to prayer group?
No, I was supposed to go to All Can Harris, and I was walking on Commonwealth Street. I can't remember, but it's one of the streets there. And then, I'm late. Okay, I'm running around. I'm late. And then I see the Iron Bear. Uh-oh. Okay, I'll just go to...
I'll just register later.
Yeah. I'll just go to the Iron Bear and then saw my friends there. My friends were already there, so okay. Uh-huh. Might as well.
Right. Believe that story. Okay. Mm.
So what have you been doing? You've been painting.
Been painting. Trying to finish up this dining room. We got some molding hung, but the door has... A couple of the doors have panels in them. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to paint the panels one color and the door frame another color and then the outline of the panel in a different color, and it's just very detailed work, so it takes time. So I do it when I can, and laundry and everything else, all that stuff.
The last time I was there, I saw it. I thought it was pretty much done. We're just doing the detail, right?
Doing detail stuff, yeah. Because there's like four doors in that room. No, there's one, two, three, four, five doors in that one room. all of them needed to be painted. So just getting all that done. It's just detail work.
Is it brush paint or spray paint?
No, it's brush paint.
Brush paint, just wax on, wax out. Something like that.
How do you do that? Just get into
motion. I wish you guys are watching the video right now.
get into the motion and then it's all painted before you're done.
Oh, okay. So. All right. So You've been busy also with work.
Work, yes. We were supposed to do a software release this weekend for my company because we work at real jobs. We don't get paid for this, unfortunately. But if you want to give us some money, our PayPal account will be on the site so you can link to it and
That's
give us
right.
some money.
Yes.
So, but anyway, we were supposed to do a software release. For the last 3 weeks, I've been stressed out about this release, testing, trying to make sure everything's right. Saturday night, about 9 o'clock, the guy starts I don't know, but some point around 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock, he started the release to move the port stuff over to the live servers, to production servers, and he got sick or got diarrhea or something and had to stop. Mm-hmm. So at 9:45 that night, I was texting everybody, "You don't need to come into work tomorrow. The bill got held up, blah blah blah." So now we got to do it this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. So yet again, Saturday night, I'll be sitting there by the phone, waiting.
Okay.
And then Sunday, I'll have to get up early and go test everything all day long. So
you have to work on a Sunday?
Yes, I have to work on a Sunday. So
I just want to say, by the way, that you have a very lovely shirt.
Well, thank you. In honor of Spider-Man coming out this weekend, which is coming out May 2nd.
May 2nd?
Yes. I was wearing my Amazing Spider-Man t-shirt, which is actually, I got this t-shirt because, didn't you get one too? Didn't you go to the movie with me and get one of them?
Oh, no. Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, you did. So we both went to the original Spider-Man premiere, Amazing Spider-Man premiere, with the other Spider-Man dude. And
who was it before?
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, and we got this t-shirt there. So now it's come full circle, and the new one's coming out. I'm wearing the t-shirt. So.
Yeah. So it's very retro. Look at that. Yeah, it's like, you know, the comic books. Pretty good. I don't remember where mine is, so I have to look for it maybe.
You probably sell it at a yard sale.
No, I didn't sell any shirts. I did sell some pants at the yard sale. Some people.
Pantalones.
They tried to.
Were they your MC Hammer pants?
One of them is.
That's what I thought. Right.
One pair is. Yeah, I had to get rid of those. Somebody bought them. $2.
Yeah.
So, that's okay. Last weekend, actually. Last week, Mike and I did a yard sale. And last weekend, I did another yard sale. So, actually, so a friend of mine, Mark. I helped him out because you should not do a yard sale alone. You should have at least one person with you so you could alternate maybe. You need to go to the bathroom.
Because there'll be like people be like, how much is this? How much is this? How much is this? And trying to distract you so they can steal your 25-cent pair of socks you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Gross. Can you sell socks? Used socks?
You can sell anything you want.
No, somebody. Anyway, so
you that's. You buy used underwear. Look at Ray. I'm not.
Okay, so after that, softball. Softball during the weekend, we lost one game and won one game. It came to a point that we were killing the team.
It was the other team or your team?
We were killed the first game, 18-12, and then the second game it was about 31-9, and then I said to the coach, coach, I think we need to end this.
Yeah.
We need to end this. So because we only had one out or something, or two outs.
Yeah.
We already had two outs and we're still scoring and everything. So okay, we have to end this. So I took one for the team. I just struck out. You know, they keep throwing the ball. If it's ball, I would still try to hit it.
Yeah.
As if I'm really hitting.
Which is normally how he hits anyhow. So.
What? I do not. So I tried to hit it. So I did not try to hit it. I just miss. Deliberately, so we would just be over.
Okay.
So the game is over. And then, yeah, we won that game. Was happy. And then, what else happened that day? Oh! I was helping out. I helped Wayne last night on his assignment.
Oh!
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Sticky rice homework.
Sticky rice homework. He's studying stuff that I do, I do almost every day. So, I kind of helped a little. I could have polished it a little bit more, but it's the best I could do for what information I have. It's a baseball database, something like that, for leagues and everything.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. So Ray, you texted me one time and you told me about a movie.
Yes, I told you about a movie. Our topic this week is Interior Leather Bar. Now, if y'all haven't seen this, or if you're not watched this yet, it's available on Netflix on demand and Amazon. I think it just came out in like the last 2 weeks because it wasn't there a couple weeks ago when I was looking. So if you don't want any spoilers, you need to fast forward through the show now until we start talking about Bear Watch.
There's not a big plot over it. Well, no. Nothing to spoil about, but it's more.
But we're going to talk about it and this kind of stuff. But if you don't know what Interior Leather Bar is, it's the James Franco thing that everybody made a big deal about it at the end of last year because he was doing. Let me rephrase. Let me get my layout here that I got typed up here that I worked so hard for.
Okay. All right.
Okay. To talk about Interior Leather Bar, we have to reference Cruising, which is a movie from 1980 starring Al Pacino. The movie is about a serial killer who brutally slays and dismembers several gay men in New York's S&M and leather districts. The young police officer, Steve Burns, which is played by Al Pacino, is sent undercover onto the streets as a decoy for the murderer. Working amongst almost completely isolated from his department, he has to learn and practice the complex ruse and signals of this little society. So he has to learn how to cruise.
Mm-hmm.
While barely seeing his girlfriend, Nancy, anymore, the work starts changing him. So there's this whole movie. The original movie, the rating system made them cut 40 minutes out of the movie, or they were going to give them an X rating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So James Franco and Travis Matthews, I don't know who sit around and figured this out, but one of them said, hey, let's recreate the 40 minutes that we lost, even though nobody knows what happened to the film, but let's do a reimagining of it, kind of like set today, but what would have been happening back then.
Yeah.
So that's where Interior dot leather bar came from, and that the way it's described is kind of like how you do a script, and on the script it would tell you where you're at. So it's like interior leather bar, and that's about the only description you get, and then all that's left up to the scene designers and stuff to come up with a leather bar. So, so to talk a little bit about interior leather bar, filmmakers James Franco and Travis Matthews reimagined the Lost 40 Minutes from Cruising as a starting point to a broad exploration of sexual and creative freedom. In order to avoid an X rating, the 40 minutes of the gay S&M footage was rumored to be cut and destroyed from the 1980 film. Cruising, inspired by the mythology and controversial film, filmmakers James Franco and Travis Meeker collaborate to imagine their own lost footage. Amid the backdrop of a frenzy film set, actor Val Laurent reluctantly agrees to take the lead in the film. Mm-hmm. Val is repeatedly forced to negotiate his boundaries doing scenes on and off camera as unsimulated gay sex happen around him. There's actual gay sex happening.
Yeah.
The film itself is constructed as a play with boundaries remaining queer in subject and form. As much of a film about filmmaking as it about an exploration of sexual creative freedom, Interior Leather Bar defies easy categorization. So, and the person that's in this is Val Laurent, who played in the Sal Mineo film. And if y'all know Sal Mineo, he's the young, cute, gay guy from Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, him. Okay.
So he. If you go watch that movie, he's in that. So the whole thing is set up like James Franco has talked Val into filming this movie.
Yeah, it's a.
And talked him into it.
It's a documentary. Reality TV show type
deal.
Yeah, it's almost like that.
So they're going through and they're doing this whole documentary about setting up, doing these phone calls and all this kind of stuff. And as it goes through, some of the same stuff that happened in Cruising, they kind of recreate in the documentary.
Yes.
Like him talking to his wife and other stuff that's going on and everything. But so if you watch, it's only 60 minutes long, so go watch it. So I came up with a couple questions. Why would James Franco do this documentary? What's your call on that?
I don't know. At first, I thought he was gay.
Well, I mean, that's the big rumor. And that's what everybody thought, that he was going to be in the film.
Yes, everybody thought he's going to be in the film, that he's going to be part of it, he's going to be naked. That's what everybody thought.
But he actually wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was just producing.
He was producing. He was sitting around smoking cigarettes, looking all James Franco.
But, you know, I don't know how he felt about it, because I was, while watching it, I would look at his face and see how his reaction, especially towards the end when he kind of nodded off and, okay, let's go, and let the scene happen while they were still filming. And I think he had to leave at some point. So it was
intriguing. Just disappeared from the set.
He just disappeared from the set.
At least that's the way they had the film going.
But the guy who's supposed to be the movie's about.
Yeah. And Val Lauren is playing the Al Pacino character, Steve.
Yeah.
So he's trying to play out the character Al Pacino portrayed. So he's trying to deal with this and having to deal with some of the same stuff that Al Pacino had to deal with in a gay leather bar. So so I think he did this just because, well, one, I think James Franco is bisexual. Two, I think he just likes pushing boundaries and see what he can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the comments was, you've been in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
So why are you doing this? Because this can hurt your career. And I don't think James Franco really cares about his career as much, because he does way more indie films than he does mainstream films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I would applaud him. Because if he's pushing boundaries like that...
Yeah.
Who in the world right now who does that?
Yeah.
John Waters.
Yeah.
He's pretty much on the edge, but he used to be, I guess. But lately he's been, toning it down.
The closest thing to this, watching the documentary thing, the closest thing to this that came into mind was Short Bus.
Short Bus with John Cameron Mitchell?
Yeah, because when they actually filmed that, they actually filmed people having sex. I mean, people are having sex in the movie, they're actually having sex.
Yes, actually having sex.
Because if you ever rent the movie, watch the whole...
Beginning.
Well, watch everything, but then go back and look at the whole... There's a whole thing about the background, behind-the-scenes stuff, talking about it and how they did using female condoms and stuff. That's you know, how they use those and cut them up so you couldn't really see them when they were having sex, but yeah. they were wearing protection and all yeah, this kind of stuff. So, but it was very, it, you know, it was, that's kind of what it reminded me of. Mm-hmm. My second question was, it was a mixed cast of straight and gay men. Most of the documentary was focused on the straight guys talking about what they would do. Would they kiss another man? Would you have sex with another man if it was required for the role? So I thought that was very interesting, some of the conversations they had about that. Because some are like, well, you know, I don't have a problem playing gay. And one of the guys that was actually being dressed up in drag, they asked him, well, are you comfortable playing gay? He said, well, it doesn't bother me. And he said, well, and one of the things, and because they're all like, are you gay or straight? And they were like, well, I'm straight, you know.
Yeah.
And this, that, and they were going back and forth and they were kind of talking about it. And I don't know how much is actually staged and how much of that was actually real conversations and they were just recording them.
But you know, if it's a real conversation, it makes me think now about Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Because these are two straight guys back then when Heath Ledger was alive and also Jake Gyllenhaal. Of course, they're good actors. And don't you think that they had those questions asked of them before they did the
well, think about this. Casted? It's 1978-79. You're Al Pacino. You're a rising star, and you get asked to be in a gay movie.
Mm-hmm.
A gay movie where sex is involved and other men are making out around you, and you are supposed to be questioning yourself by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Do you think the same conversations happen on that movie set that happened on this one?
Oh, yeah. I would think so. Even more back then.
Yeah.
And over here, it's 2013. It was filmed in 2013.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, yeah, same conversations. So, they made it like a reality show. Yeah. Like they were asking the guy and the guy was...
Yeah,
if it calls for it,
He said, you know, if the role call, you know, if it's right for the script, if I'm just, they walk up and say, just go kiss this guy, then he said, then it's going to look fake. But he said, you know, if you're playing the part and you're motivated to do this, then it's all method acting. then you go kiss the other person and make out.
Ray is a theater major,
so you know. But it was quite interesting to see some of the guys talking because during the scene, and I wish there was more of it. There's a way I could go see all the raw footage to really see what happened and really see what got cut out and messed and how much was actually staged and what was real.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very, towards the end of the documentary, there's a bunch of gay guys and straight guys sitting out talking about why is James Franco involved in this, you know, why their things are going on. And, you know, one of the only things they really come up with was that they're all damn good looking men. So, you know, it's a kind of funny thing. But so anyway. Going on to the third question I had about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
During the sex scenes, and yes, there is oral sex being performed on
real
camera.
Real oral sex.
Real oral sex while some of the straight cast was watching. Now, was this to make them feel uncomfortable? Because that's kind of, make them feel uncomfortable or maybe see how they would react.
But
because, I mean, it's one thing to be watching porn and see it, but if you're standing there, and you're watching somebody getting their dick sucked, and you're not
as a straight guy,
and you're not used to that. I mean, some of the kind of reactions that I got from some of the guys, I mean, it was like, I don't think they were much as bothered by it as they were, you know,
intrigued looking. And,
well, it wasn't they were intrigued. I think it was just like, oh my God, I've never, you know, because I'm sure I've almost gotten blowjobs from girls.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're seeing a guy doing it, and you start questioning those things. It's like, what's so wrong about this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's kind of pushing that thing between this being a porn and this being an art film. And that's one of the things James Franco, James Franco said, you know, we're making art. But, you know, there's this big dialogue with him and Val saying, you know, what's wrong with people having sex on screen? He said, we sell sex all the time. Every freaking commercial out there is almost pushing sex. But when you actually get to a movie, they'll push the destruction, explosions, and killing more than they'll push the sex scenes. And then the sex scenes are kind of washed over.
Yeah.
Which is very true, which is going to be interesting to see what happens with 50 Shades of Grey comes out.
It's going to be a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, wow. It'll be awesome.
So, well, it all depends because that's a lot of sex scenes that happen in that. And how are they, you know, are they just going to fluff over it? Or are they going to be like hardcore? Or how much are they going to push the boundaries on that?
It's going to be lots of pixelation. Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Lens flares. So, but anyway. Lens flares. So, but it was very interesting to some of the reactions. Yeah, the reactions. Well, like Val, like I don't know if he's ever seen this or he was acting on this and kind of being surprised, but you know, he was just watching. You could tell he was uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was uncomfortable. And the cameraman, well, camera girls.
Well, there are camera girls and men. I mean, it kept switching both of them,
they're switching up. But then the sex scene is behind, and then there's a girl on the floor trying to focus her camera on Val, on the straight character, the straight man, trying to get a reaction out of him.
Yeah.
And so alongside with the cameras on the porn scene at the back, he's taking video. Some of the people are taking videos of the straight guy.
Yeah.
Seeing some reactions, and apparently they did look uncomfortable. Now that's a good question. Now if I should ask my straight friends if they, you know, what would, how would they react in watching? Not necessarily watching, if they ever see. I mean, if they see porn, if they ever watch.
I mean, you can still go out to the bars today and walk in some of the bars and people be getting blowjobs and stuff. And I know here in Houston, it's a big thing because these guys will show up with their girl, or their fag hags or girlfriends, and everybody gets all squeamish about it. Like, why are you bringing girls up in here? We want to suck dick and we don't want them around and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the girls will sit there and watch it and they'll just be all, you know. So it's kind of that whole thing. You know, you're showing us, what's the difference between a straight man seeing it and a straight woman seeing it?
Yeah. Well, if it's gay sex, yeah.
Okay.
But of course, for a man, they would really love lesbians do it. Go at it.
Well, supposedly, men like to watch two women on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never been into that.
Me neither. No, not me.
So now the fourth question I had about this. Now, if the scenes in the documentary that was done were actually in Cruising Today, what rating would it be given?
Huh. It would be...
Would it still be...
NC-17.
NC-17 or rated X? You think it'd be moved to NC-17 now?
Oh, wait a second. It might be rated X already. Because NC-17 is, of course, very extreme violence, and the sex is it's over the top. I mean, it's almost soft porn. But since you actually see erect penises, then yes, it would be, I think it would be a rated X still.
Yeah, X, or at least the NC-17. It might be pushing both.
Yeah.
But then it comes back to that thing, is this art or is it porn?
Oh, it's art. To me, it's art. Why? Because it does tell a story. Because
porns tell stories.
Well, it's different.
The plumber shows up and there's a drain and there's a pipe that's clogged. He unclogs it for you.
But no, it's different though, because there is actual penetration. The camera scenes are being focused on, you know, the cameras are being focused on the penetration side, plus there is actual ejaculation most of the time. Not that I've seen some. Well, I've seen some.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot.
You've seen a lot.
It would be X-rated at that point. But if it's like lots of petting, and then you see a dick here and there, but there's no...
But like Game of Thrones, you see dick every now and then. They don't show quite enough.
But that's art. That's not... Well, that's art because it's not really erect.
But see, they're okay with showing titties and women's ass and bush all the time. But like when the guys, it's like real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you see the dick sling as they turn around or something, and that's it.
That's it. Oh,
like on last week's episode where they're in the whorehouse and the male hustler gets up, he stands up, and there's just a brief glance of his penis as he walks by.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't even hardly see it until you stopped it and went frame by frame. I know, because I did.
That's what you did.
So anyway, so okay, my last question, and we'll end this. And if y'all have any comments on this or watched the movie, send them in to the show.
Mm-hmm.
How has the gay male lifestyle changed since 1980? I mean, in 1980, this was the meatpatching district. It was the leather bars. Mm-hmm. It was full on jock strouts, fucking, sucking, fisting in the bars. I mean, it was kind of anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that so much doesn't happen anymore at a bar. Well, it's
not here in Houston.
Well, not here in Houston. Now, in other bars, I know it happens, but I still think, do a lot of gay people still consider that acceptable?
I think so.
Because I think with the internet and apps that you can get and you can hook up with, that whole bar thing, unless you're really into public sex or something, I guess, and voyeurism, mm-hmm. which some people are, but I just don't think, well, unless it's a specific event that you know you're going to and that's going to be happening, that mm-hmm. that happens that much anymore. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's probably in New York it still happens, San Francisco it still happens. I know it happens down at in New Orleans sometimes, but...
Sometimes.
But like here in Houston, that scene's pretty much gone.
Oh, especially in Houston, yeah. But you're right about having the apps and everything, the internets of stuff.
I mean, because back then, again, if you wanted to hook up...
You had to go to the bar.
You had to go to the bar, and you had to go... And if you were in a certain specific, you had to go to a specific bar.
Well, right now, because of the internet and these apps, the bars are now suffering because not too many people are going.
Except maybe if it's a
fundraiser.
Or is there a special event?
Or a special event. But if it's a regular weekend, night, it doesn't get busy and not that much anymore. So
you know, it's a big change. It's watching this. And also the other thing about watching the movie and seeing, you know, what the guys were doing like that and then what's going on now. Because, you know, now you have all the tattoos and all that stuff that you didn't have back then. Mm-hmm. And back then it was all leather and protocol and...
Yeah, and chains and everything.
Yeah, so...
Interesting.
Anyway, if y'all have any comments on this or if you've watched it and want to give your input, you can email the show or call us and leave us a voicemail and we'll give you that information at the end of the show.
Yep.
Okay, now on to the entertainment. All right. For those of you who've been living under a rock and as a nerd and haven't heard, the Justice League movie has been confirmed. So, Warner Brothers finally confirmed what we've known for a while now. That confirmation that the Man of Steel sequel releasing in 2016 will be followed by a full Justice League superhero team-up movie.
I'm excited about that.
So, the Justice League film will be directed by Zack Snyder and will star Henry Cavill as Superman, Ben Affleck possible as Batman. There also might be a character played by Dwayne Johnson.
He's going to be the Martian Manhunter.
Well, they're saying he could be the Martian Manhunter, Captain Marvel, or Lobo. Mm-hmm. If Johnson plays a superhero or Darkseid, Black Adam, or Brainiac, he plays a villain. However, Warner's confirmation that a Captain Marvel, aka Shazam, film is being developed is perhaps a big clue that Johnson is part of that project. Mm-hmm. But apparently the film isn't intending to tie into the Justice League movie, not directly anyway. So, that's a big thing. So, but here's some other characters that might be in the movie. Batman, Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman, and Ray Fisher is Cyborg. Other superheroes are expected to join as well. It will shoot back-to-back with Superman versus Batman, something many of us have heard for months, but now is only being confirmed. And I just saw where I screwed that up because I copied and pasted something and mixed it up. But anyway, so.
You know, I'm excited about it. You know, even Wonder Woman's going to be there.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be in the Batman-Superman movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they put her in there, and I guess that's how they're introducing her. I guess she's going to be the peacemaker between the two. She's going to kick both their asses.
You think she's going to spin around and change clothes that way?
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see. So, now, along with that, here's some other Warner Brothers news. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers is launching a new Flash TV show and a Batman prequel show called Gotham alongside the hit series Arrow, as well as continuing strong slate of animated film projects, the most recent being The Son of Batman, which just came out, I think.
Son of Batman,
with their own established continuity. There have been no formal signs from Warner Brothers that the live-action superhero television programs will be linked to the feature films. And indeed, a lot of what they've said so far suggests the TV world will remain separated from the films. However, if Flash is another success and manages to fit the superpowered hero comfortably into the other Fox realism, Arrow's bigger world, that could potentially work to the studio's advantage and make it easier to introduce both the Green Arrow and Flash into the cinematic universe.
I'm looking forward to the Flash, if ever it comes out.
Yes. Well, I think it's next season is coming out. Or they might be doing a brief thing, because Arrow, I think, ends this week or next week.
It ends.
For the season.
I didn't get to get around Arrow. I didn't like it too much.
So that's what's up with Warner Brothers and what they're doing with that. So I'll end that because it's a long, I could keep going, but.
Yeah. Okay, I did pick up a story. Actually, it came out last week or something like that, some time ago. It's tragic because porn stars are losing their bank accounts. Have you read about that?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because Chase, was the bank account when Julio had our production company.
Did they cancel you guys?
No. But that
they would have.
But they would have now. But that's the whole thing we always questioned about what's, you know, can they do that and would they do that? Well, yeah. I guess that just got answered.
Okay, here we go. So it's a story that I picked up. Okay, porn industry fury as Chase Bank closes accounts belonging to hundreds of adult film stars, including Ron Jeremy, right?
Maybe.
Anyway, so JP Morgan Chase has reportedly ordered the closure of hundreds of bank accounts registered to the names of people who work on adult entertainment, sparking outrage and confusion across the industry. Chase Bank, a subsidiary of U.S. giant JP Morgan Chase, began sending out letters earlier this month to the entertainers, according to CNBC, informing them that their accounts will cease on May 11th. So the letter...
On Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day. Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
Mother's Day.
The letter, which has been posted on social media by several of the industry names involved, says the shutdown was a result of a review and apologizes for any inconvenience.
But get your porn asses up out of here.
Mm-hmm. However, gives no further explanation. Pornographic actress Tegan Presley, who has a masturbatory device modeled from her body, told adult industry blog XBiz News, a Chase employee said the reason for the termination was because she was in the adult business. So, do you think, since you had your company, your porn company before with Julio, do you think, yeah, I guess this answer, they would have closed you down.
They would have closed us down. So, and here's the problem, trying to do a porn site and a porn company. You can't use the bank thing to charge your stuff with, so you have to go to I don't think PayPal lets you do it either.
No, you won't.
If it's adult industry. So you have to go to a couple other places that allow it, but then you pay these exorbitant huge fees.
Mm-hmm.
They won't help you get the stuff set up, but they'll charge you to do support to walk you through to how to get it set up so it'll work to make your website and stuff work. So I wonder, is anybody out there in the banking business that's maybe thought about opening up a bank that's specific just for the adult industry? Because you can do an online bank now.
Yeah.
Because there's been a couple that's done that. And then you can do the services and stuff. So,
yep.
And I understand why the credit card people don't want to deal with it, because so many people are like, their wives bust them because they've been on some porn on Big Tits or something, .com, and the wife sees it on the credit card statement and said, oh no, somebody stole my credit card. And then they go fight those charges.
Oh, so that's what happened.
So that's why Visa and MasterCard don't want to deal with that. And you have to go through a third party to deal with all that.
Like CC Bill.
Like CC Bill. So, So
why do I know that? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, okay. So yeah, it's a story that it caught my eye because it kind of concerns about, you know, all the porn people who might be out of bank accounts right now.
Yeah.
Then move to Wells Fargo or something. I don't know. All right, Ray. So let's move on to bear events. Bear events coming up very soon.
Before we go into that, did it say if it was their personal accounts or is this their business?
Personal accounts.
Is it personal account?
Actually, this lady, this Tegan Presley, her own account.
But that's what I'm trying to see. Most of these people are set up as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So is it her business accounts?
It's her business account. Sorry, it's her account. It's her personal account.
Okay.
She's had it for 15 years since before she had porn. She did porn. Okay.
All right. That's what I made sure. Because a lot of porn stars and other set themselves as an entity so they can deal with taxes and all that kind of stuff better. So I was wondering if it was just
those accounts,
or is their personal accounts.
That's the point. It's their personal account. And just because their name is this, then they find out that she's famous and everything, but then she has this account. They would cancel it.
So how many Ron Jeremy's out there are getting shut down this week?
I know. That's right.
Anyway, okay. Now on to Bear Watch.
Okay, there's a Bear Watch. It's Bear Watch 15 on May 16th to 18th on Galveston, Texas. So your run package includes, if you ever register, it'd be nice for you out-of-towners, come to Texas. It's a week before the Memorial Day weekend. It's the weekend before Bear Pride in Chicago. So your run package includes admission to all Bear Watch 15 events, hospitality suite with open bar of all events for all events at the host hotel, shuttle transportation to and from Robert's Lafitte and the beach, all meals on Saturday and Sunday, an official Bear Watch 15 shirt. And, of course, a swag bag that goes along with any bear run that you go to, right? So you go to bearwatch.net for more information. So if you have an event to promote and you want to let us know about it so we can talk about it in the show, or we can even have you in the show, it would be great. So email us, events@bearpodcast.com. Now on with the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay. I also found the gay this week, which I thought was pretty interesting. I just saw this article flash through. 20 wealthiest gay people in the world. I'll learn to talk one day, people, really. So I got a list of the top 20 the rich gays. So if for you gold diggers, here's the people you need to go hit up on. Everybody's favorite Canadian dyke, Katie Lang, comes in at number 20 with a net worth of $15 million. Now, they're talking about net worth. They're not talking about they got $15 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. Between their properties and...
Oh, yeah. Assets.
Assets and all that stuff. This is what they're valued at. Andy Cohen is valued at $15 million. And if you don't know who Andy Cohen is, he's an American television executive, host and author. And he's also the executive vice president of development and talent at Bravo Cable Television. So he's a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite. At number 18, Neil Patrick Harris comes in.
Only 16?
Well, I mean, he's an actor. He probably got some money to start with Doogie.
Yeah.
And then as he got older and started, because he didn't really blossom that much until the last 10 years.
Yeah, I guess.
So with How I Met Your Mother and doing the Broadway and everything, so.
Oh, which reminds me, we might watch Hedwig and the Angry Inch in July, starring Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, cool.
In New York. We'll see. Or that's the plan. We'll see.
So, all right. You don't take 17?
Okay, 17 is Lance Bass. What group was he in?
In Sync,
or is it New Kids in the Block? Which one?
It was In Sync.
It was In Sync. Okay, yes. Sorry, guys. I don't know my boy bands very well. He's he's worth $22 million. Oh, Melissa Etheridge. It's a lesbo. $25 million.
Yeah.
And the number 15 is Susie Orman, $35 million. So Susie Orman is an American author, financial advisor, motivational speaker, and television host.
Yeah.
She's
a power lesbian.
She's a power lesbian.
Yes.
Okay.
So coming in at 14 is Ricky Martin at $60 million. So Menudo. The ABC television show, and then going out on his own and being his own musician. Living La Vida Loca. He's up to $60 million.
Okay.
Coming in at 13 is Ellen DeGeneres. And I thought she was going to be higher.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at her to eventually become the next Oprah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As her show grows and she expands. But she's at $65 million. Coming in at number 12 is Rosie O'Donnell.
Robbie O'Donnell?
No, I wish. Rosie O'Donnell is $100 million.
Wow, she's rich.
Yep. Take the next one.
Next one is Anderson Cooper. $100 million, really?
Now, my question is that his money? Or is that his money from his mom's Vanderbilt trust?
I'm sure it's his own.
I don't know. He's a Vanderbilt. He's had access to that money.
Oh, I guess.
I mean, his mom was the only child, and there's a big trust left out there.
Okay, next is George Michael.
At number 10.
Number 10. $160 million. George Michael? Well, I could imagine that he could be.
Well, he was pretty big in the 80s, and if he invested it all properly and well...
Wait a second, it says here, number 9, Lady Gaga, $190 million. Wait, Lady Gaga is a lesbian?
Well, she's that whole bisexual thing she's got going on. So.
Oh, okay.
But she's like a big old gay man, so you might as well put her in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number 8, of course, everybody knows about Sir Elton John, $370 million.
Yeah, and I remember a few years ago, maybe it's longer than just a few, but he was almost in bankruptcy at one point. Because they were going into court and were having to do something. But I guess he's bounced back if he's now worth $370 million.
That's a whole lot than the other.
Yeah.
Well, he is older too. So.
Yeah. Coming at number 7 is Tim Gill at $400 million. Tim Gill's an American computer software entrepreneur and LGBT rights activist. I think his software was one of the first softwares that was used in publication. Like newspapers.
Oh, really? Okay. There's a lot of money.
So I think that's where he got his money from. I might be wrong. Coming in at number 6 is Chris Hughes at 700 million. And he was one of the Facebook creators.
Really? He's the gay? I didn't know. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to be very, very rich right now.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you do the next two.
Okay, Jan Wenner. Is it right? 700 million also. Co-founder and publisher of Rolling Stones. It's a magazine one of there. Yeah.
With Jon Snow on the cover.
Jon Snow in the cover for this month.
So, and of course, number four, Michael Kors. It's 780 million. Pocketbooks are good money, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Number three, do I know this guy? John Stryker?
Not Jeff Stryker.
Not Jeff Stryker.
John Stryker.
John Stryker. It's $1.2 billion worth. It's an American architect, philanthropist, and activist for social and environmental cause. He is a billionaire stockholder and heir to the Stryker Corporation, medical supply company, fortunes of grandfather Homer Stryker.
So he got his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it.
Okay. Number two would be Peter Thiel. $3 billion. He's also a Facebook founder.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then number one.
Da-da-da-da.
Is Mr. David Geffen at $5.5 billion. He's one of the three DreamWorks founders. The reason I know David Geffen is because, you know, they talk about him in the industry and stuff. But at one time, there was a thing that he was dating Keanu Reeves.
Oh, really? He was?
Yeah, for like 3 or 4 years.
Wait a second. So Keanu is really gay?
I don't know. But that was the whole thing, that they were very close.
Or maybe they're just hanging out. I mean, air quotes.
But there was a whole bunch of rumors about that. And then billionaire David Geffen, he's 69 years old now, splits from his toy boy lover, 41 years his junior, after 6 years together. Oh. So see what happens when you get older, when you got a billionaire daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Out the door, bitch! Hope you enjoyed it.
Cash in.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully he got a severance package. So.
All right. Next would be the nation's oldest gay bookstore announces closure, which reminds me about some of the gay bookstores here in Houston.
Yeah.
But let me read this. So the nation's oldest gay bookstore is writing its final chapter. The owner of Giovanni's Room in Philadelphia says he'll close the doors to the 41-year-old store by the end of the next month. Ed Hermans says... he's been losing money for a long time, in part due to an online discount booksellers like Amazon. Hermans says he's been looking for a buyer since August, but has not been able to seal a deal for the business for the small brick building it occupies. Supporters say Giovanni's Room served as a resource, safe haven, and gathering place for the city's gay community. It's named for the 1956 James Baldwin novel about a young man in post-war Paris struggling with his sexual identity. So, it's really sad that a gay bookstore is dying. The same way it died out here. It's called Crossroads and Lobos in Houston. Is there a big...
The internet's replacing all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're good coffee shops, and that's where my ex and I, you know, used to hang out, meet friends. Asians and friends used to meet at Crossroads, have some coffee, hang out there for about a couple of hours, and go to Lobos and have the same thing, coffee, and read books. And
but now you just go have coffee.
No, you just have coffee. There's no more reading.
Sit on your phone.
Sit on your phone.
And don't talk to anybody.
Okay, Ray, let's go with the geek. Are you going to do that?
You can do that.
Okay, I'll do the geek. I should have talked about this a couple of weeks ago when it came out, but we got sidetracked and everything. It's really interesting because I don't know if I'm going to get one. I don't think I'll get one, but it's just interesting. Maybe you might be interested with this.
Well, I already got it on my TV, so.
Yeah, okay. So impressive debut, but room to grow. Which one is this? It's the Amazon Fire TV. So the good part of the Amazon Fire TV is best way to watch Amazon Instant Movies and TV yet, and Prime subscribers can stream thousands of titles for no additional charge. Voice search feature is cool, and the interface is zippy, and it's pretty fast. I heard some reviews about that. And the Amazon content streams lightning fast. Supported third-party apps also include Netflix, YouTube, Hulu Plus, watch ESPN, and Pandora, as well as hundreds of games. You can actually play games on the Amazon TV, Amazon Fire TV. And Amazon also offers flexible parental controls. Yeah. Who does parental controls anyway?
That's right.
So the bad The user interface strongly favors Amazon Instant Content over other services, and the voice search feature doesn't comb through Netflix or most other non-Amazon apps. So if you make a search like, I want to watch Leather Bar, the Netflix part would not show up, but it would just Google on the Amazon. Yeah. It would just search on the Amazon.
But why would they pay for it to be able to search on other people's software?
Oh, yeah, that's the point.
I mean, what eventually come Netflix and say, okay, we'll program so to do the voice search on ours.
Yeah.
And the other, Hulu and them, if they want to get more of the market through them.
Mm-hmm. So the price is $99, guys, if you guys are interested about it. And you can also buy a $40 Fire Game controller and a Prime subscription to get the most out of the box. So the bottom line, the Fire TV streaming media box is an impressive living room debut for Amazon with standout features like voice search, gaming, and super fast video streaming, but it falls short of being an elite streamer, at least for now. I'm sure it's going to grow a little bit more. Plus, there's one coming out very soon. It's just the Android TV, which is pretty much a variation of Amazon Fire TV. And it's going to compete against Apple TV, Roku,
yeah.
PS3, PS4, but you know,
even
Xbox.
Like Apple and Amazon TV and stuff, they have the same stuff on them.
They have the same stuff. It's just...
I mean, other than Amazon being able to talk into your thing with Gary Busey's pants.
Oh, God. But what's good about it is you can play games.
You can play
That's games. What mm-hmm. Apple cannot do. The Apple TV cannot do right now. But then what you do, you mirror your iPad to it.
Yeah, so whatever.
Okay, let's go to the bizarre, right?
All right, this week's bizarre. New bride rushed to hospital because of two-hour orgasm.
That'd be uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know. Don't you? The whole thing about having an orgasm, you just build up to it, and then it's just like it's gone like that. Mm-hmm. What if you can make it last for 2 hours? That feeling. So.
Should see the video, guys, if you're watching the video.
A new bride was left exhausted in a hospital emergency room after she couldn't stop orgasming for more than 2 hours. Doctors were left baffled by the bizarre incident, captured on camera by the woman's husband. And there is video you can watch.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
If you go, watch this. He'll put the link on there so you can go watch it. So, in the video uploaded to YouTube, the woman is seen struggling to speak as she has repeated orgasms while sitting in her hospital bed.
Oh, my God.
With medics handing her Valium in a bid to get her body to relax. She tells the doctor, for the first 10 minutes, I was like, this is awesome, but now it's exhausting. This is so embarrassing, I will never forget this. But while reassuring her patient that emergency room staff are used to all sorts of unusual situations, the doctor seemed able to offer a little help, saying that when she tried to research similar cases on the internet, her computer broke.
Use your phone, bitch.
Okay. And her husband of just a few months seemed amused. When the doctor says he's getting a kick out of this, he replies, she asked me to do this.
Oh, God, really? It may be funny for the guy, but the girl, it would have been horrible. My gosh. Just a continuous orgasm for 2 hours? I mean, can you handle it? Imagine yourself coming,
Well, I wish the whole orgasm thing could last longer than it does, because you hit that and you orgasm and it's like, and then it's like,
it's gone.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish that could last just a little bit longer.
Oh, really? Just the feeling. Oh, my God. You probably pass out if you're going to do that. So it's true. For girls, they come, they orgasm.
They can have multiple ones,
right? Mm-hmm. But then,
so her orgasm switch got turned on and could not get turned off.
Yeah, I would imagine if they come a lot like that, it's gonna be uncomfortable. I mean, they might have traumatized. They would be traumatized that I don't want to have sex anymore, but I might have a 2 hour orgasm anymore.
This might backfire on her husband. So, but then she might be like, after a couple of days, she's like, damn, that was awesome. But can you imagine the cartons of cigarettes she went through that night?
I know.
So,
or Valium.
Getting her Valium to keep her from having orgasms. Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
All right. So we got some shout outs this week.
Yes.
Some bunch of happy birthdays to Dutch, Flowers, Gary Wilson, Ryan Blas, Dave Chase, and Jeffrey G, Robert Helms, Canyon Boyd, and of course, Mr. Terry Duncan up in Canada.
Oh, okay. You said everybody's last name. It's okay.
Well, it's posted on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Then that's okay. That's good to go. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to my friend and teammate, Chad. I hope you're feeling better. Also to Scrum Bear, I hope you're feeling better because, you know, he's not feeling well lately. So
maybe he needs to watch two men having gay sex and he'd feel better.
Oh, that's I doubt it. I don't know about that. I strongly doubt it. We shall see. But anyway, so I guess that's it. Thank you everyone for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to call us and leave us a voice message, you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
Yes, and subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can catch the whole show on Roku. You can play you can hear the audio on Roku Player, also on the Bear Radio Network, and also on Stitcher Radio. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Me. I fucked it up.
And this is recording now. Because I get all itchy and scratching, and my eyes get all like burning and something. And